are formerly known as Coral Crossing.
So, Mr. Chairman, this item's on the agenda, basically to advise the commission where this stands procedurally at this stage. As you'll recall, that was a subdivision that was considered by the Planning Zoning Commission, denied, and then the denial was appealed to county council. County council had its hearing, and then county council issued a motion remanding it back to the commission for considerate, not another hearing, but consideration of the information and then another vote on the matter. What I'm going to do, just so everybody has it, is just a paper copy of the motion that was read at county council, so if you want to take one and pass it down. I'll just summarize it really briefly, and you can read that at your leisure. The plan is just to explain what happened, then we'll put it back on the next meeting for the actual revote. The council actually, they found in our favor with regard to the 45-day time limit for acting on a subdivision, basically finding that the 45-day clock that's in Title IX begins to run at the time the record's closed on a matter following the public hearing. And then the next one is the commission engaged. They found the commission engaged in an orderly process, but there was no evidence of a logical review of the record. Now, one of the things they state in here is the appellant alleges that the commission's conclusion was not the result of an orderly and logical review, alleges that the commission's conclusion was not the result of an orderly and logical review of the evidence and the provisions of the subdivision ordinance, and the council motion, and it was a 3-2 vote, agreed with that in part. The council said that while the commission reviewed the submitted documentation and discussed a variety of issues pertaining to the site, including but not limited to wetlands, drainage on the adjacent site, interconnectivity, stormwater design, build-out issues, adjacent developments, an archaeological study, the adjacent airplane landing strip, and more, council found that they were unable to determine how the evidence was analyzed because the commission failed to provide any reasons in support of the vote. Therefore, they found that while the process itself was orderly, it was not clear that the review was logical. And then the third thing, because there was three issues on appeal, was the commission's vote that the commission erred, or the council's vote that the commission erred when it failed to provide adequate reasons for the denial of the application. And basically said that, you know, there was a motion made, and then you know, it just failed because it didn't get the three affirmative votes, but there wasn't any reason given why the subdivision should be denied. So for that, you know, that's an overview of what council did. So now, you know, I wanted to explain that to you. I don't expect there to be a motion because you needed to know what you're supposed to do first. And so I wanted to give you that overview of council's decision. So we'll put it in for the final meeting in June.
So, Mr. Robinson, do you, who voted to send it back to us?
Council did.
You say it was 3-2?
Yeah.
Who were the three?
It was Mr. Vincent, Mr. Riley, and Mr. Hudson. I mean, although that doesn't really matter because it's majority of council that votes, you know, to make any decision.
And why did they not just choose to have their own hearing over the issue?
Because they can't. They're not permitted to do that. Title or Chapter 99 states that their review is on the record of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. So they cannot do their own hearing. They're not. It would be a due process violation if they had a do-over.
So basically, when we voted, when it was a 4-1 against it, here at Planning and Zoning, we should have each individually stated why, or that we were not in agreement with a motion.
I will say two things, because I was asked to state on the record the law about subdivisions, and I stand by that, and I will restate it again next week or next meeting, because it's correct. Subdivisions, and if you want, I'll read it again tonight, but subdivisions are governed by code, and if you meet the standards for a subdivision, state law has determined, as well as the legal decisions that have reviewed it, that if you meet the standards of a subdivision, it has to be approved, although you can put conditions on it. I stated it then, and I'll state it again. So, you know, the commission is hard-pressed to deny a subdivision. You know, I don't like having to say that on the record, but that's what the law is, you know, and we've got to live with it. And so, you know, really, it's county council that has the ability to change the subdivision zoning codes that are applied against a subdivision. So if you want to change the standards for approving or denying a subdivision, county council's got to change the code which sets up the rules for doing that. But you're right, the vote would have to be there would have to be a motion to approve it, again, seconded and three votes stated, at least, in favor of that motion with reasons given why that motion should be approved. Or if it's going to be denied, there has to be a solid motion made to deny the application, seconded with at least three people given reasons why they feel it doesn't comply with the subdivision code and should be denied.
So then my question, Mr. Vincent, is...
Mr. Robertson. Mr. Vincent, he's...
He's the one, the ones that voted to bring it back to us.
Yeah, right.
My question is, when all these folks come before planning and zoning, when we have these public hearings, and they give us all these reasons that are outside of those for which the developer is burdened with meeting, should we not provide that same explanation before each public hearing that planning and zoning doesn't make the rules? Planning and zoning simply has to follow the rules, and if the rules need to be changed, that's done at county council level. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, that's a call whether you all want to make that statement. I mean, that is the law, though. I don't disagree with that. It's whether, like, for example, when I give the rules for how we conduct public hearings, if you wanted to add a statement like that to those rules, you know, maybe that makes some sense. You know, because I will tell you, you know, sort of informally, like, whenever I get an opportunity, you know, and to explain that to folks in the public, I try to educate people. Not, you know, when we're sitting up here so much, but, you know, when people ask about it. Because I think, as I said, I think the last time, reasonably, I think people misunderstand that. They think that there's more discretion on a subdivision. Now, remember, that's different from a change in zone, RPC, or conditional use, or some other things. But on a subdivision, I don't think people appreciate, you know, what you're tasked with doing based on the code, you know, so... I don't have any problem with that. I think we could probably boil it down so it's not a big, long explanation, but, you know, make that explanation.
I agree with Commissioner Hopkins. The public doesn't understand the duty we're tasked with following the law.
Right.
You know, and they think that we'd love to involve their opinion in our decision, but a lot of times we can't.
Yeah. And that's, I will say, that's, I have to think about it because there's some nuance to that, too. Like this particular subdivision predated, it's in the coastal area, and that used to be a different set of standards. You know, that was, the coastal area didn't have to prove superiority. We've since changed that, so it's superiority everywhere. This one predated it. But to some extent, if it's now a cluster subdivision anywhere that's been filed, there's still a superior design standards. But we could incorporate that into that explanation as well, you know, just so people kind of know what the rules of the game are. Yeah.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
No, I can definitely work on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that way it's just said all the time, and somebody's not saying it every time we have a hearing. You know, it's just part of the spiel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Not well. But since that requires no action, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is conditional use number 2352, CB Lewis LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2352 for CB Lewis LLC for an expansion of the development known as Coastal Tide, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application is for an expansion to allow 30 additional units within the Coastal Tide apartment project. This project was originally approved as a conditional use at number 1845 through ordinance number 2106 to allow 168 apartment units. As part of that approval, the project included 26 units set aside as part of the Sussex County Rental Program. Two, the Coastal Tide development is partially developed. While all six of the approved apartment buildings are constructed, the last two were waiting certificates of occupancy at the time of the public hearing. All available units, including the SCRP units, have been leased. Three, there was testimony that a need exists in this area of Sussex County for market rate and SCRP apartments. This expansion of the existing approval will address that need. As part of the additional 30 units, there will be six additional SCRP units. Four, the properties within the MR medium density residential zoning district is also in the coastal area according to the county's comprehensive plan. These are appropriate areas for this expansion of the existing conditional use. Five, the property is in an area that contains a mixture of commercially and residentially zoned properties. There's also a mixture of densities in the area. For example, there are properties zoned MR, HR, AR1, and C1 in the immediate area. The nearby residential projects include similar multifamily projects such as the Plantations, Sunset Glen, Eagle Point, Somerset Glen, and Savannah West. This expansion of coastal tide will remain consistent with these other nearby developments. Six, there are no wetlands located on this property. Seven, the existing development and the expansion of it is served by central water and central sewer. Eight, DelDOT has reviewed this proposed expansion of the existing conditional use and has determined that the traffic impact of the 30 additional units is negligible. Nine, this application is in furtherance of the housing element of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan by providing six additional SCRP units in Sussex County. 10, this recommendation is subject to the conditions imposed by conditional use number 1845 and ordinance number 2106 for the existing development, with the exception that contains 1 and 17 shall be modified to state as follows. Number 11, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 198. And number 12, there shall be a 50-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of Eagle Point development. In addition, there shall be a 30-foot wide landscape buffer between this development and the common boundary with Rolling Meadows. The buffer shall be designed in accordance with the planting requirements of Section 99-5 of the subdivision code for the forested and or landscape buffer strip, so that homes in Rolling Meadows are screened from headlights facing outward from the coastal tide parking area. The location and design of this landscaped area shall be shown on the final site plan.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2352 CB Lewis LLC for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Please let the record show that the motion carried 4-0 with the chairman abstaining. Thank you.
Roll call.
I'm sorry. Am I ever going to get used to doing that?
Not just cover that?
Keller, I'm telling you. I need a sign, I guess. I just need a sign.
Oh, I was rolling along.
30
okay.
years of doing it one way is hard
yeah.
to break.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem. All right, let's try this again. Okay. Ms. Hoy Stevens, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reason stated in the motion.
Mr. Hopkins?
Yes for the reason stated in the motion.
Ms. Wingate?
Yes for the reason stated.
Mr. Mears?
Yes for the reason stated in the motion.
Okay, and the chairman abstains. So, motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. My goodness. Okay. So I do have an opportunity to redeem myself here.
All right. We have high hopes.
Changes. My mother did too. Change of zone number 1946, Ronald and Candace Gray.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change in zone number 1946 for Ronald and Candace Gray for a change in zone from AR1 to B2 business community based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, B2 business community zoning is designed to allow office, retail, shopping, and personal service uses that serve a relatively small area, including low density and medium density neighborhoods. Two, this location is along Roxana Road. B2 zoning is appropriate in this area because it will provide a convenient location for office, retail, and personal uses in a location that will eliminate the need for nearby residents to travel to Route 54 and Route 26. Three, the rezoning will not adversely affect area roadways or traffic. Four, the rezoning will not adversely affect nearby properties or property values. Five, the proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning code by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. Six, no parties appeared in objection to the application. And seven, any future use of the property will be subject to the site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1946, Ronald and Candace Gray, for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Hoy Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Mr. Hopkins?
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Ms. Wingate?
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
And the chair votes yes for the reasons stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2293, Ronald and Candace Gray.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use number 2293 for Ronald and Candace Gray to operate a storage facility with the outdoor storage for boats, RVs, and RVs based on the record during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use as indoor storage with outdoor storage for boats and RVs is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of neighboring properties and uses in the area. Two, the use is to be located along Roxana, which is an arterial road. This is an appropriate location. Three, there are many houses and businesses in this area that will utilize this facility. It will also help reduce traffic on other roadways by eliminating the need to travel to Route 26 or 54 for this type of facility. Four, there are nearby deed-restricted residential developments that have limitations on storage or keeping boats and RVs on a lot. This use provides a convenient location for those needs. Five, this type of storage facility generates a relatively minor amount of traffic when compared with the other types of uses. It will not adversely affect traffic on the roadways. Six, the project, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Seven, no parties appeared in objection to this application. Eight, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, there shall be no more than 703 indoor storage units at the site. B, all sites for storing boats and RVs shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. C, any security lights shall be installed on the buildings and shall be screened with downward illumination so that they do not shine on any neighboring properties or roadways. D, the perimeter of the storage area shall be fenced and gated. The location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. E, there shall only be one lighted sign allowed on the site. It shall be no larger than 32 square feet per side. F, stormwater management shall be maintained on site using best management practices. G, there shall be a landscaping buffer between the outside of the fence and the adjacent residential properties to screen the use and the fence from the adjacent homes. The final site plan for this use shall include a landscaping plan for this buffer area. H, no sales or maintenance of boats or RVs shall occur on the site. I, the use shall be subject to all DLDOT requirements regarding the entrance and roadway improvements necessary to provide access to the site. J, no hazardous materials or fuel shall be stored on the property other than what may be in the tanks of boats and RVs located on the site. K, no junked or unregistered boats, boat trailers, or RVs shall be stored on the site. L, any violation of the conditions of this approval of this conditional use may result in termination of this conditional use. And M, the final site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2293, Ronald and Candace Gray, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Zoe Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins?
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Ms. Wingate?
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, the chairman votes yes for the reasons stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. The next item is conditional use number 2294, Horsey Family LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I've asked Mr. Robertson to read this motion for me.
Okay. All right, Mr. Hopkins. And Mr. Hopkins' motion is to move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 2294 for Horsey Family LLC for an expansion of an existing borrow pit based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the subject property is adjacent to an existing operational borrow pit that was approved by Sussex County Council as conditional use number 1741 by ordinance number 2021. This application is for a reasonable expansion of that existing borrow pit operation. Two, the subject property is zoned AR1 and the surrounding properties are primarily used for agricultural purposes. This expansion of the existing borrow pit will not adversely affect the surrounding properties and the uses that occur on them. Three, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan identifies this property as being in the rural area. Borrow pit operations are appropriate within this designated area according to the plan. Four, the proposed expansion of the existing borrow pit will not increase the congestion on area roadways. This is confirmed by DLDOT, which has stated that the proposed conditional use will have a diminutive impact on area roadways. In fact, there should be no significant increase in traffic beyond what is currently generated by the existing borrow pit operations. Five, this expansion of the existing borrow pit is generally of a public or semi-public character and is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents, visitors, public works projects, and businesses. This application will provide additional borrow pit materials that will be used in the construction of public and private projects throughout Sussex County. Sixth, the applicant will be required to comply with the requirements of Section 115-172B of the Sussex County Zoning Code, which are specific to borrow pit operations. Seven, the applicant has stated that upon completion of the borrow pit operations, the reclamation plan will enable the site to become a wildlife pond for fish and fowl. Eight, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. And nine, the recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, no material shall be brought from off the site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. B, water or water trucks shall be available to control dust from road traffic when conditions require. C, the entrance to the expansion of the existing pit shall utilize the existing entrance off Hardscrabble Road. There shall be no entrance on Sussex County Road 446, which is Asbury Road. The entrance on Hardscrabble Road shall be fenced or gated to prevent access. All entrances shall be secured when the borrow pit is not in operation. D, any additional roadway and entrance improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required and in accordance with all DLDOT requirements. E, the applicant shall comply with all state and county erosion and sediment control regulations. The project will meet or exceed stormwater management system regulations set forth by the Sussex County Conservation District and DENREC through a combination of best management practices, BMPs, and best available technologies, BATs. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. F, the hours of trucking operation shall be between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturdays. Dredging operations may operate 24 hours per day, 6 days per week, as permitted under ordinance number 2021. No Sunday hours shall be permitted. G, no material shall be stored on any access roads or within any buffers. H, no fuel shall be stored on site. I, no stumps, branches, debris, or similar items shall be buried or placed in the borrow pit site. J, the proposed pit will have a 4-to-1 side slope down to a 10-foot level bench that will be approximately near or 1 foot below the static water surface. Below the water level, the borrow pit shall have 3-to-1 slopes. The depth of the water in the proposed borrow pit will not exceed 100 feet. K, a final site planning, including all pit slopes, excavation, phasing, and reclamation plan shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Prior to the commencement of operations, reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planning schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance and protect existing and future developments. L, permanent concrete markers and signs shall be placed at appropriate locations to designate the boundaries of the subject properties and pit areas. The boundary markers shall be raised and marked so that they are clearly visible to anyone nearing the site. M, the borrow pit shall be surrounded by a buffer strip, a minimum distance of 100 feet from any street lines, 200 feet from any dwelling of other ownership, and 50 feet from all other property lines of other ownership. The buffer area shall be a vegetated buffer of existing vegetation or native species vegetation, and no wetlands on the site shall be disturbed, and the pit shall be located at least 100 feet from all delineated wetlands. O, this approval shall terminate upon the expiration of 50 years from the date of enactment. P, any safety lights shall be screened downward so they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. And Q, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Excuse me, before you can I just make one comment?
Sure.
No fuel shall be stored on site. Could that be amended to say any fuel that's stored on site will be done under the jurisdiction of DENREC? Because I can't imagine they don't need fuel back there.
Thank you very much for picking up on that.
Otherwise, it would be back in front.
Yeah, and I will tell you, that was the applicant's language, but that makes sense to change it. You're not being more restrictive, so it will be any fuel
stored on site would be under the jurisdiction of DENREC and Soil Conservation District, because they'll be all over it.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Subject to the jurisdiction. So we got this right.
You can't believe what we go through now.
DENREC and Soil Conservation. Okay.
You want to just read it one time real quick?
Yeah, let me just finish writing it before I forget what Holly said.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
That's all right. No, this is good ordinances get done.
That's right.
All right, so H is amended to state that any fuel stored on the site shall be subject to the jurisdiction of DENREC and the Sussex Soil Conservation District.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2294, Horsey Family LLC, for the reasons and with stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, wrong again, did it wrong again.
Got us.
But it got you all, too. Ms. Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins?
I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Ms. Wingate?
Yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Mr. Mears?
Yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
And the chairman votes yes for the reasons with stipulation stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Okay, our next item is an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 72, Article 2, Sections 72-16 through 72-28, and Chapter 115, Articles 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Sections 115, 20, 25, 29, 34, 37, 42, 45, 50, 53, and 58, regarding the affordably priced rental units and the Sussex County Rental Unit SCRP program.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of the ordinance to amend various sections of Chapters 72 and 115 of the Sussex County Code, known as the Affordable Housing Ordinance, based on the record made during the public hearings and for the following reasons. One, it is undisputed that there is a real need for more affordably priced housing opportunities in Sussex County. This ordinance will help serve that need through incentives to private developers to provide affordably priced units as part of a multifamily developments here in Sussex County. Two, this ordinance is the result of a study commissioned by the Sussex County Council to determine the current deficiencies in the county code and to recommend improvements that can be made to the code to enable more affordable rental units in Sussex County. Three, Chapter 72 of the Sussex County Code previously established the Sussex County Rental Program, or SCRP. In the years that the SCRP program has been in existence, only one development has utilized it. For that reason, and based upon lessons learned from the process involved in establishing the SCRP units within that loan development, an amendment to Chapter 72 is appropriate. This ordinance significantly improves and streamlines the existing SCRP program. Four, there was little or no opposition to the ordinance. Instead, constructive comments were received from the public, housing advocates, and developers suggesting possible improvements so that it is utilized and more affordably priced rental units are actually constructed in Sussex County. Five, by creating a by-right process for multifamily developments that provide at least 30% affordably priced rental units, the uncertainty associated with a rezoning or conditional use is eliminated. Six, as stated in the whereas clauses of the ordinance, this type of amendment was described in Sussex County's comprehensive plan and its goals, objectives, and strategies. Seven, the affordable rental units created by operation of this ordinance will be monitored by Sussex County's Community Development and Housing Department to ensure that they are occupied by and available to qualifying households. Eight, this ordinance promotes the health, safety, and welfare of current and future Sussex County residents by enabling the creation of more affordably priced rental units in Sussex County. Nine, this recommendation is subject to the following suggested improvements to the ordinance. A, in sections 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 of the ordinance, the listing of appropriate areas designated on the future land use map for the affordably priced units shall include the commercial area in addition to the town center, developing area, and coastal area as currently required in the ordinance. Commercial area locations that are appropriate for affordably priced rental units because they are adjacent to major roadways, near dart routes, and by their nature are employment centers. B, in sections 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 of the ordinance, council should consider reducing the open space requirements from 50% to 30%. I am concerned that the 50% open space requirement in the ordinance as introduced is too limiting and will inhibit the creation of new affordable housing opportunities. C, in sections 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 of the ordinance, the setback requirements should be revised so that they state that if the proposed buildings do not exceed 42 feet in height, which is the current maximum height for building in these zoning districts, then the setback shall only be 50 feet, which is what is currently required by code. If the building heights exceed 42 feet up to the maximum of 52 feet as provided in the ordinance, then the greater setback of 100 feet shall be required as currently stated in the introduced version of the ordinance. D, in sections 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, the ordinance, the requirement for proximity to dart routes should be amended so that the development can also occur in a location where DART certifies in writing that a DART route will be established within 3 years from the date of the final site plan approval for the development, or the developer obtains a written commitment from DART that it will serve the development no later than when 50% of the leasable units are fully constructed and ready for occupancy.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 72, various sections, all known as the affordably priced rental units and Sussex County Rental Unit Program, for the reasons and with the suggested improvements stated in the motion. Ms. Hoy Stevenson, how do you vote?
I vote no. While I agree that there is a need for more workforce and affordable housing in the eastern part of the county, and I appreciate the effort put into this ordinance, I see this as doing little to resolve the actual problems of affordable rental housing in the county. In fact, it could actually exacerbate other problems that already exist. For every 3 units it would create of affordable housing, it would also create another 7 units of market rate housing. Those 7 units, and indeed the entire 10 units, would contribute to the already overburdened road system of the county and create more congestion and dangerous situations. Yes, I understand the requirement for it to be near a bus route or what might become a bus route, but the reality is that most, if not all, of the people moving to these apartments would be using their own automobiles to get around on a regular basis, and much of that driving would probably be on two-lane country roads, as they are often called, where there are little or no shoulders. The by rights feature that is said to be needed to make this ordinance work could allow high density apartment buildings to be built within otherwise low density housing areas without allowing for input from those people already living in those areas. Under this ordinance, my understanding is that someone could build an apartment building on a 1 acre lot in AR zoning. We don't even allow duplexes in the zoning, but now we could have an apartment building. The map areas where these units would be allowed is too broad. The coastal area and the developing areas encompass much of the county. An apartment building could crop up almost anywhere under this ordinance, keeping it within the town center area or possibly creating a new designation on the comprehensive plan maps could keep this type of high density closer to areas already developed areas where there would be possibilities for walking, biking, and using public transportation on a more regular basis. I believe this ordinance would provide very little in the way of affordable and workforce housing. Options such as ADUs, additional dwelling units, and garage apartments could create immediate supply. The county could support dormitory-style housing and nonprofits that build workforce housing. The county could also create incentives such as waivers on height restrictions to allow companies to provide housing on top of new business construction. The county could even upzone areas where there is already affordable housing development so that more of that housing could be built as infill. Support of tiny homes, manufactured housing, land lease properties, and even year-round campground options could provide more equitable, faster, and broader relief for the problems we face in the workforce housing arena. That is my motion. That is why I'm writing no.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins, how do you vote?
Mr. Chairman, in a nutshell, the affordable housing crisis is a supply issue. Excuse me. There simply isn't enough supply of moderately priced housing in Sussex County. This has the greatest negative impact on gainfully employed, hardworking, middle-class citizens. I think Sussex County should be a wonderful place to work and live for all people of all economic backgrounds. As we learned in school, when there is an issue of supply and demand, the solution is obvious. There aren't enough moderately priced houses. Despite the complaints of so many who speak before the commission, the issue in Sussex County isn't overdevelopment. It's not enough development across the economic spectrum. We need to create more housing for people who want to live here, raise a family, and call Sussex County home for generations to come. I think this can be done without creating sprawl and overdevelopment. I also think if we're not careful, government will end up being part of the problem rather than the catalyst for the solution. Poor planning by Sussex County government has played a role in creating the issue we are facing today. As pointed out in the Home Report, also recognized as the LSA evaluation, it's a problem created by county ordinances. This is a quote out of the LSA evaluation that's actually referenced in the new ordinance, I believe. The restrictive land use and zoning code in Sussex County, born out of efforts to reduce traffic congestion, promote environmental stewardship, preserve the county's agricultural landscape and/or reduce strain on infrastructure is setting rules and regulations that place limits on the number and type of housing units that can be built in areas of the county that have been designated for growth. The quote continues. While well-intentioned, the zoning code is inadvertently placing upward pressure on housing prices and exacerbating the same policies the restrictions are working to address. Low-density, single-use developments increase traffic congestion, lengthen commutes to work, increase cost of installing new infrastructure, and promote the degradation of even more land from sprawl and development. End of quote. The combination of low-density policies, lack of undeveloped inventory in all residential districts except AR, overlay restrictive bulk standards, and an arbitrary land use decision, making processes have left middle class and financially disadvantaged citizens out in the cold. To quote President Ronald Reagan, government is not the solution, government is the problem. It is a government-caused problem that has grown over time to a crisis. According to the 2019 final home report, approximately 50% of our workforce can only afford a home that costs $250,000 or less. As of today, there aren't many of those to be found. The county recognized affordable housing was an issue back in 2008. This effort failed miserably, so much so that it amazes me it took 10 years to recognize the failure. Even after the 2018 Comprehensive Plan review highlighted the growth crisis, it has taken the county 4 more years to move forward with a partial solution that doesn't offer a fee simple purchase option, in other words, home ownership. It's noteworthy that home ownership is the single largest store of wealth in the United States. Ignoring this crisis for so long and then only offering a partial solution indicates either the county government simply doesn't care or it is a governing body that willfully discriminates against its middle class and lower income citizens. Even the proposed partial solution was drafted with the intent to limit its success. A proposed 100-foot setback, really? Do the citizens have leprosy or something? A draft 50% open space requirement, a requirement that which reduces the economic viability of the project, a draft with an arbitrary cap of 12 units per acre, even if the project could achieve higher density while adhering to building setbacks and bulk standards, a draft requiring a specific building footprint rather than allowing builders design flexibility, rather allowing the builders the design flexibility which might make the project more economically feasible. Do you think citizens that are struggling to put a roof over their heads want to hear excuses that 14 years after recognizing a problem that we couldn't rectify it sooner because of COVID? Well, those citizens have had to live those 14 years with or without COVID in spite of the inaction of the county. While I believe this ordinance will perform better than its predecessor, it appears to me that this ordinance was drafted for public relations purpose rather than address the multiple issues clearly identified in the home report. I do commend the commission for recommending changes to improve the ordinance. However, it's not easy attempting to make chicken salad out of chicken manure. Mr. Chairman, we can do better than this. I'm voting against this ordinance. While something is better than nothing, I do not want to be part of a half-hearted, self-serving effort that does little more than present office holders with a public relations opportunity. Mr. Chairman, I vote no.
Okay. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
Mr. Mears.
Mr. Chairman, we all know affordable housing is a massive need.
this is, as we discussed in the hearing, this is a small step of many steps that need to occur, but at least we're making a step. Therefore, I vote yes for the reasons stated in the motion.
Thank you. And the chair votes yes for the reasons stated in the motion, and I concur with Mr. Mears' remarks. The motion carries 3-2. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. So we thank you for being with us this evening. We're delighted that you're here, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the public hearing scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on today's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proceedings are being broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. There is a 30-second delay between what occurs live in this room and what is broadcast on the internet. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberation and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. For those of us here in this room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you switch it off or turn it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then, the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in this room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves so that they can speak first. We will start with the folks present in this room, and then we will ask to hear from people participating remotely through the call-in number if there is anyone on the line at that time. Again, because there is a 30-second delay, we will pause the hearing to allow the internet broadcast to catch up for people watching online and wanting to participate by phone if they are queued up to speak by phone. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence from anyone speaking on the phone. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into account by Sussex County in its deliberations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.